Amen. Amen. Our progress is coming along on the building. You know, just step by step, things get better every week. So keep praying and believing that God is, we're going to finish this thing out. You know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in the back and some stuff here, whatever, but it's coming along. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, don't ever become a thankless people. Always be thankful. Always be thankful. Because God has given us so much. If he never gives us anything more than salvation, we've got it all. We've got it all. Always remember that. We've got it all, no matter what. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to thank Joe. We have one mic working. Compared to last week with no mics working. Amen. So thank you. Thank you, Joe. All right. Yes. Amen. Amen. If you would, I want you to turn to, I'm almost forgetting, Andrew. Andrew, you're going to prison tomorrow. Why don't you come and we're going to pray for you. Guys, I need you to come. Come on, guys. Come on. He's going tomorrow to this prison, and we need the Spirit of the Lord to be there with him. Come on, guys. Amen. Amen. He's gone tomorrow, so, you know, we need God to move. Kirk, why don't you pray over him?
Dear Father, we need to pray for Andrew tomorrow. Help him to spread the word of the Lord and take care of all God's children and give him the courage and the strength to carry on his mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I know you were just getting a little comfortable in those chairs. Amen. Amen. It's not easy walking into a place where some don't want you. You ever been there? I've been there. Walk into a place where you know they don't want you. But that's okay. You walk in and you say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says, and God can move. I want you, if you would, to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Everybody can hear me clearly? Good? All right. Well, amen. Great. Great. Just be careful when you go down the hallway because it's not painted, so some of the mud stuff might get on you. The bathrooms are in the back. You know, we're trying to clean them to the best of our ability. So, you know, just keep on. There's just little things, okay? But look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here we see something very important. It says that God created Adam and Eve. Creation. He made them. He used something to make them, but he made them. And it says something in the scriptures that we are made in the image of God. Something that we lost, though. We were made in the image of God from the beginning. Then when Adam and Eve sinned, both of them, we lost the image. And then when Jesus died on the Calvary's cross and we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that again. Maybe not to the full extent as it was till the fullness of time has come that we're going to gain it all back. But we were made in the image of our God, in the likeness of him. But what also I want you to see is the value and time that God took to make you and I. You know, we know from the scriptures that the enemy was reigned over the earth, and he wasn't the enemy at that time. But there were certain things going on. And God made Adam. You know, from the dust of the ground, he formed Adam. He took pride in making humanity. Because he was making a man that was in the image of himself. You know, that's just like, you know, you look into the mirror, who do you see? You're looking in there. You don't see, sometimes we wish we might see a little different stuff, but, you know, we don't want to get too close, you know. But, you know, the older we get, the farther away we get in the bathroom, you know, it's like, okay. But because of the flesh, but that's okay. God's going to renew our bodies when he comes. But it says that we were made in the image of our God, like him. And he took the time because we are very valuable to him. We are the most valuable thing that he has. I'm talking about, when I say the Godhead, talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Godhead, besides those three, to God and the Godhead, we are the church, the body of Christ, man, woman. We are the most valuable thing unto God. Nothing else. We are made in his image. We have him living on the inside of us, in us. In us. We are valuable to him. There's nothing like him in all the world that he's given unto us. We are very valuable. It's like, you know, you can think of the most valuable things in the world, you know, from the vehicles, you know, to homes, you know, to gold, to pearls, to whatever. And all those things are very valuable. And, you know, we like all those things. Nothing wrong with it. Unless they're first. God always has to be first. Amen. Those things are very, but to God, go to him is like something you walk on. Streets of gold. To God, a pearl is like a gate. Who has a pearl as their gate to open to go into your home? Nobody. It's too valuable. We can't afford it. You know, nobody has that. We are so valuable that he took the time to take Adam, to form him. And as he's laying upon the ground, or upon whatever he was laying on the ground, if you want to say it that way, or the dirt that he has just taken to form him, there's no life in him. Because he had just been formed. There's nothing in him. But it says that he was making Adam in the image of himself, taking his time, making sure that everything was perfect and right. Then it says that he breathed into him the Godhead, not just off the wall person down the road, but the Godhead that created all the planets, that created the sun, the moon, and the stars, that created everything in the world that we know of, everything, bends down and breathes the breath of life into him. The life of God was being breathed into this corpse that's laying there. That's like when you go to the funeral home and you see the corpse. It's just the body. The spirit and the soul has gone. When he breathed into him, some believe that he breathed into that person the soul and the spirit. We're made of spirit, soul, and body. Some have said when he breathed into them that he breathed blood into them, because it says that life is in the blood. I think it could be all of it, because God is everything. When the Godhead, can you imagine? Because it says us, when we talking about the Godhead, made man. I believe honestly, now I can't give you one scripture on that. You know, I'm just what I think. that when they breathe, when God breathed into that Adam, that every one of them, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there. Because it all came from them into us. How valuable you are to God, people. We're not just some throw down ugly thing that we throw on the road, you know. That's not like you passing up a possum on the road that has been killed, or a cat or a dog, you know. And sometimes those are valuable to us, you know. But that's we're not like that. To God, we're different. We were made by his hands, an integral part of his hands he gave unto us. Then he gave a part of himself and breathed into us. The scripture gives evidence that the angels that were created, God didn't take time like he took time with us. He just spoke it, and the angels were created. It never talks about a female angel either. So always talks about male. Just a point so you know. There's nothing wrong with that, but whatever God wants to do. He took the time to create us. He didn't take much time to create angels. So why do we say, why do you hear people say, well, yeah, they're my angel. Or they become my angel like a person, you know, that has died. That means they're bringing humanity lower than where God says we are. We have been made a little lower than it says Elohim in scriptures. A little lower than Elohim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look, I want you to know how valuable you are. The devil has come around to humanity and has tried to destroy humanity any way he can. Now the last thing is this disease stuff going around. Let me tell you. Coronavirus, whatever it is, that thing is a plague upon humanity. The only thing that could stop it is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against you in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you in Jesus' name. That they come up with a cure, and I think they almost come up with something. It's coming. It's coming. Killing, I don't know how many Chinese people. The last I heard 1,300, but that's been a few days ago, of people that have died. It's probably 2,000 by now. I don't know. It's so many. But you see what the devil will do to humanity? How he hates you. He can't stand your family. He can't stand you as a wife. He can't stand you as a single person. He can't stand you as a husband. He hates you. But God loves us, and we have been made in the image of our God. And God looks at us, and he loves us because we have been reunited with him in what he has for us and what he wants to do with us. The power of Almighty God, people. The power. So look at yourself, not that you are a gift to humanity, but look at yourself as you are a son or daughter of the living God. And he approves of us. We may not like the color of our hair or the color it's going to. It doesn't matter. We may not like certain things about ourselves, you know, as far as physical, that we really can't change. But God is in love with us. You need to catch that. God is in love with you. I know sometimes we think, God, do you really love me? We know what the verse says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our God, and when I said that, the Spirit of God, I felt it. Our God is in love with us. He loves us. He may not approve of everything that we say or do. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to clean us up. We got to be willing to be cleaned. You know, you go fishing That fish is not looking to be get on that hook. But when you get him on the hook, you pull him in, cut the head off, you slit the bottom part, you take all the stuff out, you clean it up so that you can eat it. God wants to clean us up in every aspect of our lives, from our attitudes to our relationships with people, everything. He wants to clean it up. That's the power of Almighty God. Look at this. After God created or made Adam, we also know in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, if you want to turn there, we'll just hurry up and read. It says that God created the woman. And God created, let's see, chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. And it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh inside instead of. And the rib, which is the side which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman." He took time, people. Time. You know, as you read, you know, you often heard where he took one little rib, but that's not truth. If you read the scriptures and you read other books, and you'll see that he took the whole side of Adam and made Eve. He took the time because he's so in love with us that he cares about every part of our hearts and every part of our lives. Now look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Genesis chapter 2, which is before that. And look at this. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Here we see that the Lord God planted a garden in the eastward part of Eden. Well, that's where we know he was at. You might say, "Well, what are you trying to get to, Pastor?" God planted a garden before he made man. Gosh, he takes care of everything. He planted a garden east of Eden in that area. They say now it could be, they think it might be now modern day Babylon. You kind of know where that is. Okay, the Garden of Eden. He planted that. Then because God knew that he would make Adam and he would make Eve. And they would be in that garden. Yes, they messed up. Okay, not going to get on that. Yes, they messed up. But I want to get to the picture of God takes care of his people. Even beforehand. How we've all seen, even beforehand, how God knows what I will go through next week. And he's already taken care of it last week for me. As I trust in him. You too. God knows what you will go through next week, next month, next year. But he's already taken care of it as we put our faith and our trust in him. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah to the King, huh? Hallelujah to the King. He's a great God, people. No matter what we go through, God is taking care of those things. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens next week, no matter what happens next year or in 10 years or 20 years, as I put my faith and trust in him, he takes care of those things. That's the kind of God we serve that is not moved by world circumstances, but is moved by what? Faith. F-A-I-T-H. I'm going to make sure I spell it right. Faith. Faith in who? Faith in our God and what he has done. Can you imagine when he breathed into Adam's life and the Godhead is looking over him and he opens his eyes and he sees God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit with him. My God, How many times have we been in a place where God comes through with us in a way that we never thought was possible? And our faith rises up. Our faith rises up in our God, knowing that nothing's impossible with Him, that He will take care of those things that we need for Him to take care of. No matter what happens, no matter what happens in the world, God takes care of His pastors. God takes care of His people. I was listening to a program this morning. God was preaching. I'd never heard of Him before. Well, I've heard of Him, but I never heard Him preach. Put it to that way. And he was saying, you know, 50% of the pastors will resign this year. I said, wow. 50%. That leaves a church in a sad state. You don't think the devil's out there trying to do stuff? Guys, y'all need to pray for us, and I'm telling y'all that. Y'all need to pray for us. Honestly, you may not like the way I say this, but I love you guys. Y'all should pray for us first as your pastors. It's true. And I know you do, because we feel the presence of the Lord and what God is doing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, the devil will hit you on one side and God will come in and make a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, my Lord. Oh, the devil hits you on the right side and all of a sudden you turn and something God does just transforms your life. See, do you think the devil wants people loosed under his control, and given their lives to the Lord? The devil doesn't want to lose anybody. He wants people in bondage. In bondage. God wants his people free, and he wants the people out there free. So we just keep on saying, speaking the word of God, people. Speak the word of God to your children. You might say, well, Pastor, they won't listen. Look, let me tell you. Take pictures of your, I know you have to have pictures of your grandchildren and your children. Put them out there. Lay your hands on them. Jesus, move upon them. Holy Spirit, take control of their lives. Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I bind every evil spirit and every evil force that is trying to hold my family back from serving God. Okay? Let me tell you, you have the power. You have the authority, not because of who you are, but in whom you have trusted. Be careful of a pitfall in every one of our lives. Adam and Eve had, well, they had more than two sons. I know that. They had quite a bit. But Cain was born first. And you know, Eve thought this was the man child that would be the savior of the world. You know that? She thought this was it. This was the one that's going to save us. Wasn't true. And he did some things that weren't good. Then Abel came. Cain was one that tended, you know, as far as vegetables and did all that stuff, grew corn and vegetables and all that stuff. Abel was the one that went out and shepherded the sheep and took care of the sheep and cattle and all that stuff. That's what they did. It says in Scripture that, you know, they had to do the sacrifice. You know what that is? The sacrificial sacrifice was where God says you have to kill an animal that is perfect, and the blood is to be used to cover the sins of the people for that year or so. And you can look in Scripture and you can see where Adam and Eve did that for a while, and all of a sudden they turned and didn't do it. And we don't know. We don't, you know, we think Adam and Eve, we don't know if they're in heaven, people. because of the sacrifice that they stopped making. Such a sad state. Huh? Now, we don't know. Maybe they are in heaven. I hope so. But it looks like Cain, from the scripture, didn't do the sacrifice as much. He didn't do it much. But it says that Abel, Cain killed Abel. Abel did. And, you know, they had to come before God. And it says that Cain came before God. And he brought the best of his bell peppers. And I'm going to just use all kind of stuff, okay? You know, stuff around, you know, bell peppers, you know, tomatoes. You know when you get a big tomato, red, ooh, slice that up. Put that in a bowl, put some salt and pepper over, a little bit of vinegar maybe, you know. Whatever, however you like it. How? He brought the best of all the vegetables and presented it before God. And what did God do? X. It was rejected. And it wasn't rejected because he didn't bring the best of what he had. It was rejected because he didn't do it in the way that God wanted him to do it. He didn't bring a lamb. He didn't bring an animal to kill that was perfect, that had no blemishes that they could see on the outside. And there was no blood in these vegetables to cover his sins till Jesus would come. Remember, this sacrifice represented the cross of Calvary from the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve needed clothes, what did God do? He killed animals. They tried to do fig leaves. That wasn't God. He said, oh, no, 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 no. You know why he killed the animals? Because they sacrificed those animals for the blood that would cover the sins of Adam and Eve, so God could continue to bless them and use them. He rejected it. So you see, this is a lesson we got to learn. We have to do things according to the word. Amen. No matter what we think, some things I don't like. It's true. And I'm sure you too. But when God says it and we see it in his word, it does not matter what your pastor thinks. It's what God thinks and what God says, and what he says out trumps anyone in this building or in this world. He rejected it. Then all of a sudden, Abel came with his sacrifice. And it was the lamb or the animal. And the blood. And God accepted it. What happened to Cain? He got angry and mad at who? Abel. Because God accepted his sacrifice and didn't accept his. And it says in scripture, you can read it when you get home. It says his countenance. You know when somebody's angry with you or angry with some, whatever, you can tell by their countenance. You can tell. It will come about. When somebody hurts you, your countenance it's hard, huh? And you need the blood of Jesus to come and heal. Look, we got to make sure. We don't want to be like Cain that killed, and he went out there and he killed his brother. Because of God accepting his brother's sacrifice and not his. We got to do everything we can to make sure we keep our hearts right with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Will we agree on everything? No, Lord have mercy. No couple agrees on everything. Huh? Probably more arguing in the house than this was this. Go, ever try to remodel? One likes this. You know, you just split the house in half. His and hers. And remodel it like you want it. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But you know, we got to make sure that we keep everything right, because we don't want our countenance to be dim with God. Because Cain his heart was not right with God and was not right with his brother. And it said the blood cried out from the ground, that murderous blood. And God heard it. God knew. And it says that he marked Cain, and Cain left. He built a city somewhere, from what I read in history, but that's about it, not much. We got to make sure we do everything we can, people, to keep the unity of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our lives. Don't ever let anger rise up and not get it settled before you go to bed. Remember that scripture? Get things settled. Because I tell you, it will hurt you forever. It will hurt your relationship to whoever you have that with. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything, but you keep things right. I'm talking about keeping things right with God. Because if you can't, you and I can't keep things right with whoever, how can we keep things right with God? There's no way. There's no way possible. It's not going to happen. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on it. But look, we look to God and we look and we say, Lord, heal my heart. You know, today I was coming in. I was outside doing something early this morning. I came in and I just said, I was thinking of somebody. And I said, Lord, I forgive him. Just, you know, just in my heart, I said, Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. Lord, I don't want any strings attached. I don't want to hold him or her in bondage. I don't want any of that stuff. Forgiveness to flow, no matter what. No matter what, people. Just think, if Cain would have listened to the Lord and done things right, wow. His brother would have been alive to help him. No telling what would happen, what would have happened. You see, we can't let anything grow in our hearts that will destroy us. We can't let it grow. The Bible says this, and I'm about to close. Guard your heart. You want to know why he says guard your heart? Because the enemy's out there. He'll try to get you to do something wrong. Sometimes you have people that are used by the enemy that will come and tell you something. And then you have your own mind that's almost as it really is enmity with the heart, you know, sometimes. And so we got to do everything we can to guard our hearts. Guard your heart. Guard, and only you can guard your heart. You know that? Only you can guard and say, okay, Lord, I will do everything I can to love my brother. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. Love my sister, that doesn't mean we're going to agree, okay. But we love one another because love covers over. Love covers over a multitude of sin and evil. Now, there's proper places to deal with things. But we need to let the love of the Father exude out of us towards the world. And towards each and every one of us in here also. The power of Almighty God. Because we don't want to end up like Cain. Running. And running to disaster. We want God to move within our hearts. And to heal our hearts and help us to be godly men and women. That God can use for the kingdom of God. I tell you, you know, as we pray for you every night, Jelaine and I, we pray and intercede and ask God to move upon your hearts and lives. We treasure your friendship. We treasure who you are. We treasure how you have blessed us, how you prayed for us. We're asking God for revival like we've never seen before, people. We're praying for revival. Pray for revival. And that means starting with us. Clean us up, Lord. Revival. So that God can bring in the people that need to be brought in. That we can go and herald out what the scripture says about being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of Almighty God. Let God be God in your heart and your life like you've never seen before. Guard your heart. Guard it. Don't let evil come in, because it's hard. It's hard to uproot an oak tree that's been there for 50 years, huh? They say as high as an oak tree is, that's how far deep the roots are. Now, I don't know about that, but that's what I've heard. Is that true? Probably, we all know. It's a good saying, I guess. But that's what I heard. As high as it is how deep it is, or wide out. You know, and how wide the tree is, how that's how wide the roots are, too. And so you try to uproot a tree like that, an oak tree, that's hard. So that's why God says, guard your heart. And so things will come. And you say, Lord, I see it. Thank you, Lord. You get home or you're driving and you just start praying. And you're saying, Lord, thank you. Victory, victory, it is mine. Victory, victory, it is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory, it is mine. Hallelujah to the King.